It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team that I get to work with. That is producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday, producer Joe.
Happy Monday, Kim.
And Joe, I greatly appreciate you and your dedication to how you make everything happen here. So thank you. And it is Monday. It is election week, producer Joe, as well. So it's a big week in the history of our country, Joe.
Absolutely. And it's kind of an exciting week because I'm hoping to see some really great changes.
Me too. So we'll see what happens. But there's a lot going on in this world. We've got a great show planned for you. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. And my voter's guide is there. And there are last minute people that are now voting. And so be sure and pass that out to your sphere of influence. And then also regarding the judges, one of our listeners did some great detailed analysis. If you still need help regarding the judges, then you can text me at our text line, which is 720-605-0647. And I actually went through the judges yesterday, and I had heard from another colleague to vote for Justice Boatwright, which I did. But then after I read the analysis of our listener, I realized that I probably wished I would have changed that. And then he did say yes on Judge Roman. And so if you want that information, again, text me at 720-605-0647. And the show comes to you because of our sponsors, and I thank Laramie Energy for their gold sponsorship of this show. It is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy that powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. As you know, we look at these issues, we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. We focus on the issues, not the personalities. We will mention people that are pushing the issues, but we want to stay out of all the fighting. Remember, my friends, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, whether or not it's their property, freedoms, livelihoods, opportunities, or lives via force. Force could be a weapon, but it's also policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, the World Economic Forum, the globalist elites, the United Nations, the Colorado State Legislature, the Colorado Governor, the World Health Organization, land use codes, zoning regulations, and ballot initiatives. All those things are being used to take our freedoms. There is so much happening in the news, but I'll start with our word of the day. It's charlatan. It's spelled C-H-A-R-L-A-T-A-N, and it's a noun, and it's a person who makes elaborate or fraudulent and often voluble claims to skill or knowledge, a quack or a fraud. Or one who prates much in his own favor and makes unwarrantable pretensions, quack, an imposter, an empiric, mountebank. And I'm going to have to look up some of these words. And it could be a malicious trickster, a fake person, especially who deceives for personal profit. And I think as you look at the news, you'll be able to use the word charlatan in a sentence very easily. When I listened to the Kyle Clark, Jenna Griswold interview, and I'm thinking charlatan might be an appropriate term for Jenna Griswold. As many of you know, the passwords to the voting machines in 63 of the 64 counties they're the BIOS passwords. And we'll be talking with Colonel Sean Smith in the second hour about this. And this is pretty serious. And in fact, join me this afternoon, 1 o'clock, in front of District Court. And I think that address is 1437. The Libertarian Party has filed a lawsuit that we should have a paper ballot hand count election here. And because of this breach, this security breach. And so I'm going to go down and would love to have you join us. 1 o'clock down at the in front of the district court. And that address, I think, is 1437 Bannock. And our quote of the day is from George Washington. It was a letter to Edmund Randolph in 1795. Of course, George Washington was born in 1732. He died on December 14th, 1799. He was one of our founding fathers, a military officer. He was the general in the Continental Army, a farmer, and he was our first president. He was appointed by the Second Continental Congress as the commander of the Continental Army in 1775. Just think what was going on at that time. And he led the Patriot forces to victory in the American Revolutionary War. And then he was also the president of the Constitutional Convention in 1787. He is known as the father of our country. And he said this, "There is but one straight course, and that is to seek truth and pursue it steadily." Again, there is but one straight course, and that is to seek truth and pursue it steadily. Several things in the news. First and foremost, we've got the, hold on here, Colorado Politics, I think this was. And the headline is that Colorado Libertarians sue the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, over the leak of these voting equipment passwords. And is asking the court to decommission voting equipment and order a hand count of ballots in counties affected by the recently discovered online disclosure of hundreds of election equipment passwords. And Hannah Goodman is going to be on in the last hour as well. She is the minor party state chair, and James Wiley, he will be on as well, is the Libertarian nominee in the 3rd Congressional District. They argue in a lawsuit filed in district court that Griswold and Deputy Secretary of State Christopher Beale breached their public duties with the leak and their responses to it. So stay tuned on that. That is very exciting. Secondly, with our Colorado 2024 election project, Peter Bergnager's team filed a lawsuit in court on Friday that basically that they have found that our Colorado voter rolls are not clean. And so we've taken that action. So there is a lot happening with that as well. So very, very exciting. Next thing that I wanted to mention was, and I'm really perplexed by Chevron. And this is from Colorado Public Radio. It says a donation from Chevron raises questions about corporate support for this election reform in Colorado. This is this Prop 131, which I am adamantly against. It is, first of all, it is jungle primaries. So you could have multiple candidates on the ballot and people can only vote for one. It is very difficult to do research on, it would be very difficult to do research on that many candidates. And because many times candidates do not let you know what they really stand for. For example, Kamala Harris, she will take us down the road of socialism to communism. The only thing that the Democrat Party has is abortion and hate. And as one of my colleagues said, I realize what you hate, but tell me what you love. If you love your children, you will not vote for Kamala Harris. If you love this country, you will not vote for Kamala Harris. And I've got some neighbors down the street that they're very nice people. I don't know them well, but they're very pleasant. Maybe I should put it that way. When I see them walking, we always greet each other. And they have a Kamala Harris sign out in front of their house with two little American flags. And I thought, do you really understand that what she stands for with the O'Biden-Harris policies, it basically would take America down. And so I don't think that they have really connected those dots. I think that they still think that this Democrat Party is the Democrat Party of JFK, which it is not. But this headline, it says, Chevron, Colorado's biggest oil and gas producer, threw its support behind a broad election reform ballot measure last week, donating $500,000 to a very well-financed campaign that could overhaul how voters choose most of their political leaders. Proposition 131 would apply to all elections for Congress, the state legislature, governor, and other statewide offices. If approved, it would abolish party primaries in favor of a single ballot for all qualified candidates. The top four candidates proceed to the general election, and then what is known is you would rank them. And ultimately, it's very confusing, it's chaotic, it's complex, and a computer algorithm will determine who the winner is. So you may have the person that got the most votes, the person that most of the people wanted, may not be declared the winner. And I am perplexed that Chevron, I know the backstory, but I'm perplexed that Chevron, oil and gas producer, would put money behind this when the biggest proponent of this is Catherine Murdoch and Unite America, where her one of the other things that she focuses on is the whole climate change narrative, which that narrative is to move people off of oil and gas. And of course, it is oil and gas, which has been providing this reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy for everyday people. And I am a bit perplexed on why Chevron would put so much money behind that, because what will happen with ranked choice voting is only the rich or the people that these rich choose will be our representatives. And it takes away this principle in America of one person, one vote. And it will dilute the vote, and it actually will, I think, disenfranchise voters even more. So that's really odd. And I was looking at Ballotpedia because I've been watching the money for Prop 131 on Ballotpedia. That is not showing up yet. If in fact, that will put the total contributions of over $15 million to try to get Coloradans to vote for Prop 131. And Alaska, which had voted it in a few years ago, has on the ballot to get rid of it. So it is a David and Goliath fight. I'm hoping that people look at it and see how complex it is, and they say no. And the show comes to you because of our sponsors. One of those is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Great specials Monday through Friday for lunch. I do love their fish and chips. In fact, I think I'm going to go over there, maybe even on Election Day, and have some of those fish and chips. How I got to know them, it's a very important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism. And then the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance team knows that there's a lot going on out there in life that can keep you up at night, but it shouldn't be your insurance coverage. So give them a call at 303-795-8855 and make an appointment. It's complimentary to go over your insurance coverage. You might be able to save yourself a bunch of money. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And we've got a ballot issue on, a bunch of them, but one of them that is on the Denver ballot is really a property rights issue. It is a question to close down a business, thereby taking people's jobs. It's an employee-owned business. It would take their wealth that they're creating for themselves and their families. And it is Ordinance 309, and it would close down Superior Farm, which is a lamb processing plant right here in Denver. We have on the line with us Bonnie Brown. She's the executive director of the Colorado Wool Growers Association. Bonnie, welcome.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's so important. Bonnie, I had a friend that I talked with at the end of the week. She'd been downtown, and she said, Kim, this organization that is trying to close down Superior Farm has trucks with video or pictures of the inside of the lamb processing facility driving around Denver. And she said, Kim, this is just terrible. It's going to take people's jobs. So anyway, there's a lot going on, Bonnie. So this Pro Animal Future is really pulling out all stops, trying to take the jobs of the people there at Superior Farm.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, they're deliberately lying about the aspects surrounding ballot initiative 309 that they have initiated. And 309 is a solution in search of a problem. And since the problem doesn't exist, Pro Animal Future has fabricated one to prop up their ban, which their end game is to stop livestock production in the United States. But before I came on air with you, I was just thinking there's so many options. If there was a real problem with the processing plant, the activists could have looked at talking to the Colorado Department of Agriculture, their Bureau of Animal Protection, the USDA, state legislature, Colorado Public Health and Environment, state and federal departments of labor. Instead, they choose to do nothing except lie to the voters. And a good example of that is their whistleblower.
Well, what happened with this whistleblower?
So I think, as you know, I know you've been watching this very closely. The Superior Farms workers that are there, the 160 of them, they like their jobs. They didn't ask for this ban. So obviously Pro Animal Future couldn't get a current employee to be a spokesperson. They found a gentleman that worked at a processing facility clear back in the 1980s. Superior didn't purchase that packing plant until 1996. So they have this Jose Hazar, I believe his last name. They've got him on their website. They're saying he's a former Superior Farms employee, when in fact he never worked for Superior Farms. He did work for a processing plant for a brief time, apparently, I think about 6 months, basically said that, you know, that job wasn't for him, but they've just blown it up into this campaign that he's a whistleblower identifying these wrongs within the Superior plant, and he never worked for them.
Wow. Boy. And when people have to resort to mistruths and lies to get people to vote for something, that's the big red flag right there, Bonnie Brown.
You know, it's pretty insulting, I think. I mean, I'm not easily offended, but I think this is so insulting to Denver voters because Pro Animal Future knows that voters in Colorado are not going to agree with their radical agenda to eliminate livestock production. So they try to sneak in the back door by saying, let's shut down this slaughter plant because we can build a false narrative around that to dupe voters with a misinformation campaign. And I was just reading where Temple Grandin, world-renowned livestock handling expert, has reviewed the undercover videos. And has said basically there's no violations. One of the lambs on the ground was handled a little roughly, and she said they could use some work there. But what Pro Animal Future is spoon feeding the voters with is just simply garbage.
Well, and it's not only going to take the jobs of the employees of Superior Farm. I was actually out in Monte Vista, and there was a sheep rancher there that said if Superior Farm would be closed, then in order to get his sheep to be processed, he would probably have to truck them to either California or Texas. And just think about the expense to do that. What that means then is that product is going to be more expensive at the grocery store. And Bonnie, there may be people that say, well, I don't eat lamb, or of course we've been watching this fur ban as well. And or they say, I don't wear fur. Well, there's a lot of different products that fur is used in as well that they don't realize. But to me, it's also a property rights issue because there's people that don't like this business. And so they're trying to close it down. And even if you don't eat lamb, we need to say no, because someday your business might be on the ballot to try to shut down. Your livelihood might be on the ballot to shut down because somebody doesn't like it. And that is not how it should work in the United States, Bonnie Brown.
Well, you know, the lamb industry has always been a litmus test for what's going to happen with the cattle folks, because we're the low-hanging fruit, so to speak. We're a little easier to try to pick off and say we're going to take your lamb farmers and ranchers out first, and then we'll go after beef. And then when does it stop? You know, we talked last time, there's 336 million people in the United States, and they need to eat. And if you choose to be a vegetarian, that's fine. Only about 5% of the people in the United States actually make that choice. But another, I think, you know, lie that Pro Animal Future throws out there is, you know, let's stop eating animals and you can eat, soy and vegetables. And it just doesn't add up. Much of the livestock grazing in the western United States is on land that's unsuitable for crop production, especially the water-intensive crops. And so to try to convince voters that and consumers that, oh, you can just stop eating animal protein and start eating vegetable-based diet, it doesn't make sense. And it flat doesn't work.
Well, and that's the other thing is what I've learned when I've had Trent Luce on, is that these animals that graze, they take land that cannot be productive for, as you mentioned, plants, because it would take a lot more water. And they take that, they help manage those grasslands as well and turn it into protein that we can eat, that it's a great protein source. It makes it stronger. And again, if somebody wants to be a vegetarian, that should be their choice. But if people want to have that great protein source, they should have that choice as well, Bonnie.
Well, and, you know, sheep grazing and cattle grazing as well. I mean, we're such eco-friendly forage management tools. I mean, sheep grazing helps control and eliminate invasive weeds. We can reduce brush and fine fuel loads that contribute to catastrophic wildfires. It's no coincidence that the continual decline of livestock grazing in the West. We see this significant increase in wildfires. We can help sequester carbon and improve wildlife habitat for multi-species grazing. And that's, I think, you know, anybody in Colorado, you enjoy our open space. A lot of that's provided by farmers and ranchers, but also when you have livestock grazing in the higher elevations, that's really helping. Most people don't realize the problems with invasive weeds these days. And so there's so many things. It's simple to say, oh, you should close this business, which, is, as you point out, is a takings. But there's so many unintended consequences in that they're not telling the voters.
Well, and that's why it's important to shed light on this. What is your final thought that you'd like to leave with listeners as we're going into Election Day tomorrow regarding 309?
Well, Pro Animal Future claims that they're saving workers, which is clearly not true. The workers at Superior Farms repeatedly and throughout this campaign say that they like their jobs. Saving the environment, that's not true. We know that Superior Farms is not polluting the river. We've debunked that. And just the emotional manipulation of Denver voters, I think the voters are going to see right through this, and I think that this is going to fail. Pro Animal Future has failed to engage on this issue with verifiable facts.
Well, it is very important because there are still a lot of people that have not voted yet. And so, my friends, reach out to your friends and family, and I would encourage them to recommend my voter's guide. We go into this particular question in depth. We have the actual text of what you're really voting on, and what it really says there is it would like to move humans to more plant-based diet. Hey, that should not be, you know, a question on the ballot on what people are going to eat. That just doesn't make sense to me. But go to my website, kimmunson.com, and share the link to the ballot guide, and that hopefully can be very helpful. Because I think, Bonnie, when people open up their ballot and they look at it, particularly in Denver, there's the 14 state issues, there's the 12 Denver issues. It's a little bit overwhelming for people, so I'm hoping my voter's guide is very helpful for them.
Yeah, I think it's good to distill this information, and this is unfortunately such a waste of voter time to even see this on the ballot.
And a lot of time and money. But Bonnie Brown, thank you for speaking truth into this issue. Bonnie Brown is the executive director of the Colorado Wool Growers Association. Bonnie, thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
And these are such important discussions that we have. And for everything residential real estate, reach out to Karen Levine.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured that RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Of course, tomorrow is Election Day, and then a week from today is Veterans Day. And this upcoming Saturday, November 9th, the USMC Memorial Foundation will be hosting an event in honor of Veterans Day out at the Marine Memorial at 6th and Colfax. And Paula recommends that you arrive by 1:30. Everything starts at 2, and I will be there. I'd love to have you join us. And again, you can get more information about all this by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That is usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And join me this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Let me get that exact address for you. I think that it is 1437 Bannock. And let's see here. Yes, 1437 Bannock, out in front of Denver District Court. It says arrive by 1 p.m. for the 1:30 hearing regarding the Libertarian Party and James Wiley versus Griswold and Beal. And what they're requesting is there needs to be a remedy for these the security breach regarding, it's unbelievable that there were these BIOS passwords that were on the Colorado Secretary of State's public page. I guess they were hidden, but somebody obviously found them for 63 of the 64 counties. And that is pretty unbelievable. And it clearly is a breach of security. We have so many different spots where there's a problem. Of course, I mentioned that Peter Bernegger's legal team filed the lawsuit that we raised the money for from the Colorado 2024 Election Project, that our voter rolls are not clean. That case was filed on Friday. And then we have on the line with us Robert Cooper. And he had a very important piece, or Bob Cooper, he had a very important piece back in June in the Rocky Mountain Voice regarding the signature verification on these mail-in ballots. Bob Cooper, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Can you hear me okay?
I've got you. And boy, yes, we want to make sure we could hear you because this is such important information. And you wrote this way back in June. But are you just shocked at all of the different things that are happening regarding the integrity of our elections right now, Bob?
Well, I would put it more, they are very concerning. And of anything that what we're seeing in Colorado, citizens need to know, they need to be involved in this, and they need to develop a good understanding of our voting system and some of the issues on the voting system. Because if citizens do not understand this, none of this is going to get changed. And so, you know, that's why I wrote the article on signature verification.
Well, why should people be concerned about the signature verification? Because when you go through on the tour, they say, oh, we have several different people that looks at the signature verification or to verify the signature and that this is the gold standard. What would you say to that, Bob Cooper?
Well, the part I would say is that the very important thing to understand on signature verification, and this would be true of all mail-in voting systems, Colorado is a mail-in voting system, is that the only process that validates the voter ID to the ballot is signature verification. So in other words, the reason a ballot is accepted and the vote to be counted is it goes through the only ID verification, and that's signature verification. And once the signature is verified, the envelope you sign is opened, and the ballot is pulled from that envelope and sent to be counted. And once that occurs, that vote cannot be pulled back. So it is a crucial process step. And people need to understand that one of the things I want to spend time with you, Kim, is that there are no audit standards on this very important process in our voting system. So we can, you know, maybe what I could do is very at a high level describe what's commonly done, and we can go from there.
Let's do it.
Okay. So here's and by the way, I would encourage every citizen out there to get involved in these systems and try and learn how they operate. Poll watching is a wonderful way to do that. I have done that, and it helped me get very good education on a bunch of these voting processes. So the signature verification process is done based on using what are called signature judges. They are paid employees of the county. They do go through training. I have to say I have several that are friends. They are very dedicated people, and their role is to verify the signature on the envelope matches the signatures that are on a database called SCORE. So if you watch the election process, what you would see on the part humans are involved is you'd see a signature judge with the envelope, looking at the signature on that envelope and comparing it to the database called SCORE that would have three different digital images of signature history for that voter. Now, what is different, what I described is the way it used to be. Most of the larger counties, the way the process is done is the signatures are run through machines, and these machines, one of them is a product called Runbeck, and the brand name is Agilis. And in larger counties, these systems are verifying about half the signatures that come in on the envelopes, and the ones that are rejected then go to a human being. And the human being actually does not see the actual envelope. What the judge sees is a digital image of what the scanner on the Runbeck Agilis system copied, and that election judge compares that to the SCORE history of that voter signature database. So that's the basic process.
Now, okay.
You know, as I have said, these people are very dedicated, so I don't want to imply that there's any issue with the people. And in fact, I would tell you the election officials very much want to try and get that system as accurate as possible, and they do look at reports of the different signature judges, verifying if they have a particular problem that one seems to be not as competent as others, they will eventually remove that judge from their role. But here's where the issue comes in, and then we may be able to use Mesa County as an example. There are no standards on this relative to the qualifications of each of these people in terms of how good they are at that job. The standard course takes about, by the way, it's published on the website under signature verification. Anybody can read it. That course takes about 2 hours to complete, and then county officials will work with the person, make certain they have an understanding of what they're doing. However, the issue on that is there's obviously a wide variance in the skill sets across the state on people that are doing this. So let's go through Mesa County and how significant that is. And what voters need to understand, they found evidence of 12 counterfeit ballots, or fraudulent ballots is a better way to say it. And they caught, through signature verification, 9 of the 12. They missed 3 of the 12. And what that means?
How do they know that they missed three if they missed them?
Very simply, because they knew they had 12 fraudulent ballots. They had the IDs of the ballots, voter IDs of the ballots that came in, and they, with two levels of signature verification review, allowed the ballot to be voted. So in other words, they knew that the ballot was fraudulent, but signature verification didn't catch three of the 12.
So the question is, how many of those occurred then throughout Colorado, right?
Bingo. That's the central question that I am trying to surface that people want to ask. And that question would be based on the following. We need to focus on auditing these systems. And the normal business practice would be, if you saw an aberration like that, you would want to know how accurate is the entire signature verification system. And the only way you can determine and get that answer is by standard audit practices. In other words, a standard audit process where you're pulling aside these signature envelopes and you're having auditors look at them and determine, have we missed any that we approved that experts would say that signature does not look like it matches the original signatures on file.
Well, Bob, my signature when, you know what, let's go to break and let's ask, my question is the source of these signatures, because if I sign my name on, you know, like a pad where I'm buying something, you can hardly read it. So let's talk a little bit about the source on how they can compare those. I'm talking with Bob Cooper. He has this really important piece that was published in the Rocky Mountain News. It's Is Signature Verification of Mail-In Ballots Valid? By Bob Cooper. And I think that you will want to check that out. This is so important that we talk about all this, and we get to because of our sponsors. And for Everything Mortgages, reach out to Lauren Levy.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Now that school's back in, mom and dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies' Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made, and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on klzradio.com today.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And do check out the Center for American Values, which is located in Pueblo on the beautiful Riverwalk. And I just love what they do, is honoring our Medal of Honor recipients and then also these important educational programs for our children. For both online and curriculum, to instill these values of honor, integrity, and patriotism. We need to reclaim those things for America, and they're doing such a great job on that. On the line with me is Bob Cooper. We're talking about his piece that was published at Rocky Mountain Voice regarding signature verification. Bob, when we went to break, before we went to break, this whole signature verification, where do they get these images of people's signatures that they compare for signature verification?
Well, one of the starting points is clearly the DMV. And that is due to when you come in and renew a driver's license or apply for driver's license. But obviously that interval would not keep currency on signatures. So they draw data from other sources, like I believe one of them is credit card companies, where they bring in signatures and they populate score in chronological order. You know, but as you said, Kim, think about how you sign at times on these pads and how you sign these pads. And if any of them are drawn into that database, what you get is a scribble. And you know, that is one of the things an audit would bring out. Because the premise of doing this is that you have an expert who can look at what's on that envelope and compare it to what the database has on it. And if they can't even match it, then that ballot should not be certified for voting. So, and let me mention something that want to share with everyone. And this is not a disparagement on the judges that do this, but a signature specialist that would be allowed into a court has to have a forensic certification. And there are two standards where signature experts can be certified, and that training normally takes 2 to 3 years. Every one of the audits that is done should have at least one or two of those level of educated people taking a look at the signature matches and having a rating and measurement on how accurate they found the process. And I'll add one other thing. The other thing I'm troubled about is if that audit is done, it should not be based on digital images that a system scanned. It should be looking at the actual paper of the envelope, because it is very easy to create a digital signature and put it on an envelope, and it can be detected if it's looked at. Because you can magnify it and determine it was digitally produced. And every one of those that you found was digitally produced would be a fraudulent ballot. So this leaves a lot of questions that I think the listeners want to understand. And I'll add one other thing, and I, you know, this is sort of disparaging doing this, but no financial institution relies on signatures as the only form of ID. They abolished doing that 2 decades ago because it was unreliable. And if there was an audit where they had to bring in a specialist to prove a signature was fraudulent, it took one of these certified specialists, and they cost a lot of money. And so the public needs to understand that the entire voter ID verification of a mail-in voting system is based on signature verification, and banks don't use that as the only source. So, you know, I think one of the things that voters should understand, they need to demand that this system is audited and we get very good standard structure of audits on it where the results and accuracy are published. And let me add one other piece of information, give you an illustration on an indicator that there are probably not consistent standards across counties. So we audited the 2022 election using county's standard report called the Ballot Reconciliation Report. On that report is the quantity of ballots each county rejected due to signature verification. So when you do an analysis comparing that quantity to the quantity of ballots they accepted, what you find across the counties is a huge variance in the percent of rejected ballots. So one county, a couple counties are like at 0.6% rejection, and you have other counties at 2.2% rejection. That is pretty close to a fourfold difference in the quantity of ballots that are rejected on signature verification.
So statistically, it doesn't match up, right? It's not going to be that different from, well, it shouldn't be that different from county to county, right?
If it's a standard process, you would have to, any business would look at that and say, why is that variance so high? Now, there could be answers. It could be voter demographics in the county. It could be training level of the people doing it. It could be different guidance of the election officials and how rigid they are on signature verification. And the point on this would be, it should be standard. Voters shouldn't be treated differently in one county versus another just because they have different standards on doing this. But more importantly, you know, you come back and maybe you start with the low counties where they have a very low rejection rate and say, we want an audit team to come in and look at this to see, bring in two experts, and we want to audit a sample of all the envelopes that were voted and passed that to see what the profile is and how accurate the process is.
Well, any financial institution would absolutely demand this because they don't want fraudulent signatures going through for their customers. Why can't we figure this out for our voting systems? We got a couple of minutes. I know that's a big question.
I think we can. Yeah, I think we can, Kim. I think the issue is no one has surfaced this. In other words, this isn't a case where people are, you know, they're going to just say, oh, okay, we'll do this. This has to be a central focus point that citizens tell legislators, we want this fixed. And we want you to have better audits on this system. And we want to see some reports on how accurate signature verification is. And in fact, what I would think might happen, given the Mesa situation, if there's a candidate, regardless of party, if there's a candidate or issue where the vote is very close, man, if I were an advocate and you lost by a very narrow margin, I would demand a signature audit to see whether or not where the loss occurred, especially if it was a county-based election, to see whether the signature verification process was accurate and reliable.
Boy, Bob, I think that we've got a lot of work to do. You and I think we need to have some more conversations after tomorrow regarding this signature verification. Thank you for uncovering this. This is so important.
Hey, Kim, everyone, please get out and vote. I mean, you know, the biggest thing on this, that people who say, well, I think the system's rigged, there is no time in our history like this where you need to vote.
Well, and we very possibly may end up with some hand-counted vote if this lawsuit goes through with the Libertarian Party, so that you're absolutely right. Get out and vote. Get that vote banked in there, and then we'll continue on, which I think that's a great segue to our quote for the end of the show. Bob Cooper, thank you for the work that you're doing. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Kim, for your time.
And George Washington said this. He said, make sure you are doing what God wants you to do, then do it with all your strength. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. And stay tuned for hour number two.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce. Wandering out into this great unknown, and I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. Thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday, producer Joe.
Happy Monday, Kim.
And boy, an important first hour. You will not want to miss that. If you did, you can listen to that again. 1 o'clock this afternoon, they rebroadcast hour number one at 1 o'clock. They rebroadcast hour number two at 10 o'clock in the evening. And that's on all KLZ 560 platforms. The text line, 720-605-0647. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I do want to say thank you to my fellow Colorado Union of Taxpayers board members. This group is an amazing group. We watch the legislation as during the legislative session, and we will rate yes, no, or support or against, or we'll do not rate. But an enormous amount of hours goes into this. And so that group is Steve Dorman, Greg Goliansky, Russ Haas, Bill Hamill, Carl Honegger, Rob Knuth, John Nelson, Joseph O'Loughlin, Wendy Warner, Marty Nielsen, Ramey Johnson, and Mary Jansen. And check out our website. That is coloradotaxpayer.org. We have taken positions on a number of the state issues as well as the local issues, some of the local issues and district issues, and that is on the website. So be sure and check that out as well. Let's see here. First of all, thank you to Laramie Energy for their gold sponsorship of the show. It is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy that powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. Big news today, first of all, on Friday, as you know, with our Colorado 2024 election project. Step one was we raised the money for the attorneys for United Sovereign Americans to file their lawsuit. They filed a lawsuit in 9 states to require the states to bring their elections up to the minimum standards as set forth by Congress. And Colorado, when they looked at the 2022 election, was not at those minimum standards. We had hoped that one of those cases would get kicked up to the Supreme Court. That hasn't happened yet, but we're in a position of standing, so that's very important. The second step was a 1-2-3. First of all, to raise the money for the attorneys. That's the first thing, is to be able to take the legal action. We did that. Peter Bernegger with Wisconsin Center for Election Justice. It's his legal team. He said, Kim, we'll split the legal fees with you, and that's what he's done. And then we also raised money for him and his Titan system, which did he, and he works with Jay Valentine. The third part of our second step, we did not get to that yet, and that is with the Jay Valentine component. But stay tuned on all of this. But Peter ran his system and uncovered that our voter rolls are not clean, and so the suit was filed on Friday regarding that. And of course, then there's the big news that the Colorado Secretary of State had posted voting system passwords online. We're going to talk with Colonel Sean Smith. He's retired Air Force. He's a tech expert, and he's our featured guest in this hour. And so we'll talk with him about that. And then also the Colorado Libertarian Party has sued Jenna Griswold over these passwords. And join me at 1 o'clock this afternoon down in front of district court. And we're going to talk with the chair of the Colorado Libertarian Party, as well as the plaintiff, James Wiley, in this hour as well. So we have these important discussions because I am blessed to work with many amazing people.
And I'm talking with Roger Mangan. He is a State Farm agent, a great sponsor of the show. And my friends, all of my sponsors I know personally, they strive for excellence in their business. So when you need their goods or services, I would highly recommend that you give them a call. For anything insurance, I'd recommend that you call Roger Mangan. Roger, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Kim, and good morning to you.
Let's talk a little bit about relationships. Relationships are so important. And when you have an insurance claim, it's good to have somebody to talk to. And of course, we are in the hail capital of America here in Denver, and we've been getting a lot of hail and a lot of hail damage. So what would you address regarding the agent and the client?
Let me put something into perspective, if I may take a minute. We have had in the Colorado Springs and Denver area 9 auto catastrophic claims. Now, a catastrophic claim is 500 claims or more in one storm, and we've had 9 of those in this season. Right now, we've got about 400 hail claims on the books in El Paso County, and actually about 350 in El Paso County out of the 400, so 50 in the Denver metro area. So hail hits your car. If you have an older car, can easily be totaled. Cost of repairs are exceed the value of the car. So basically, you need some help in this process. So if you call my office and you have one of my team members, all of whom are very experienced, anywhere from 5 to 15 years of experience, they can help you, coach you through this process. So when you buy insurance, I think you buy a promise. Would you rather buy a promise from an 800 number or from an individual agent who serves you? And the question often comes up, who does the agent represent? Well, that's a bifurcated role. The company says the agent represents the company. The agent probably takes a different point of view because he knows that you pay your premium and that he has an obligation to you. So you're buying the services of a coach who will advise you through the process in a way that's most beneficial to you within the set of rules that govern the whole relationship.
Well, and you mentioned something. Call your agent, not the 800 number, because the relationship is with the agent, correct?
That's correct, Kim.
Okay, and so someone thinks that they have or they do have hail damage, call the agent, and you can coach them through.
Yes, and we would file a claim on your behalf. So we take your call and we pass it on to a claims specialist at State Farm. And then from that point on, it's between the claim specialist and the client. But where the benefit comes in having an agent, if you're being told things you don't understand or you're being offered a settlement that you think is not reasonable, you fall back on your agent. Now, if you call an 800 number, you're never going to get the same person in some large call center, and they're going to have to reconstruct the notes. They're going to not know you personally. I have insureds that have been with me out of my 47-year career, 45, some of them 47 years, that are still around and kicking, to be honest with you. So it's it's a good place to be, and I bend over backwards. I think my agency does, and I think most State Farm agents would do that as well. But I think we're at a point in our life where we're being forced into a digital world with call centers, and you're paying premiums that really you don't feel like you're getting your money's worth. I want to give you a quick example. I had a friend. He was an American Family agent, retired, went to Progressive, talked to me, asked me about, you know, my rates went up significantly. Can you help me? So we did a quote for cars and ended up saving $1,100 every 6 months.
Wow.
Okay? $2,200 a year. So I would advise your listeners to go out there, even if you're with State Farm, test the waters, see if you have a competitive rate in this crazy environment where inflation is going through the roof on food, on insurance, on about everything we touch. So I think it's a good thing to live in a capitalist competitive world where your dollars really are what I'm trying to save you. Anyway, enough of that.
Yeah, well, I love that. And how can people reach you for a complimentary appointment?
You can call my office at 303-795-8855.
Again, that's Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Roger, I learned so much from these conversations, and I so appreciate our partnership sponsorship.
Thank you, Kim. I do as well.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured that RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to The Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You should not have to force people to do it. And, of course, tomorrow is Election Day, but next Monday is Veterans Day. And so this coming Saturday, November 9th, the USMC Memorial Foundation will be having an event in honor of our veterans out at the memorial. And recommend you get out there by about 1:30. The event starts at 2, and you can get more information by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That is usmcmemorialfoundation.org. On the line with me is Colonel Sean Smith. He's retired Air Force, and he's a
expert in all things technology, and I wanted to talk with him about these BIOS passwords that were apparently on the Secretary of State's website. Colonel Smith, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Well, it's good to have you. And you have been watching elections for quite some time. You're one of the co-founders of the U.S. Election Integrity Project. This is a earth-shattering new development, isn't it?
It is, although I have to say I wasn't one of the founders of the USCIP. They sort of let me in after a couple months. But okay. we did, most of us did then go found Cause of America together. So, but yes, it's earth-shattering. If it wasn't for the track record, you know, of the Secretary of State's office with so many other issues, it would be shocking. But in light of all the other things we've seen, it's not really shocking. It's just kind of devastating for Colorado.
So tell us why people can be concerned, because I have seen people from both sides of the aisle saying, not a problem, don't worry about it, everything's okay, and they've been out on the airwaves saying that. What would you say to that, Colonel Smith?
Well, most people, honestly, when it comes to voting systems or election systems and the technology behind them, just don't have any idea what they're talking about. It's really, you know, when you hear what they say, what they're doing is repeating something they've been told. And unfortunately, too many of our public officials have been sort of bottlenecked into that trap by, you know, Secretary of State's office and federal government and by Colorado County Clerks Association. The claim that, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not that we want people to worry, but when there's a bridge out ahead of you, you want to know there's a bridge out. And trying to tell people there's a bridge out is not trying to scare them. It's trying to save them. And that's what people are doing now when they say, look, this is a serious problem. It's a very serious problem.
So why? Because we're hearing Jenna Griswold say that you need two passwords to get in, and so it's still secure. What would you say to that, Colonel Smith?
Well, what she's describing when she says two passwords is that you would need one password for the BIOS itself and then one password for the operating system. Like most of the Dell computers that are used on our Dominion Democracy Suite or our Clear Ballot, Clear Vote voting systems in Colorado, most of those computers are Dell computers of one kind or another, either a server or a workstation or a notebook computer. And so most of them are running Windows operating systems. The servers all run Windows servers, and then the workstations and notebooks are running typically Windows 10, although I think some of them might use Windows 11. I think ClearVote now uses Windows 11. But so she's describing not two passwords for the BIOS, but two passwords for the combination of the BIOS and the operating system. And I think it's a semantic game that they're playing, trying to minimize the severity and significance of this. The truth of the matter is, first of all, if you have physical access to those computers, it's possible to reset the BIOS password anyway, which is why they claimed from the beginning that BIOS passwords were protecting from turning on all of the wireless networking devices that we had found in Colorado's voting system computers. That was kind of a fallacious claim. Technically, it did protect access to that wireless network card control, but in reality, it wouldn't. And then there were also many other ways to get to that wireless network setting, even from within being logged into the Windows environment. But if the BIOS password is compromised, then you don't have to break any seals on the case or enclosure of the computer in order to get to the switch or jumper settings that let you reset the or turn off the BIOS password. And then in addition to that, having a BIOS password lets you change any number of things on that computer that you wouldn't normally have access to. And so the way they do it in Colorado since about 2019, and Jesse Romero from the Secretary of State's office testified to this, I think, in the Tina Peters trial. Since about 2019, the Secretary of State has insisted that her office control the BIOS passwords to those voting system computers. And of course, you know, when you centralize them in that way, you have this greater risk that they'll all be compromised at once unless you're safeguarding them But the county clerks have not been in control since 2019, at least, of those BIOS passwords. This is another reason in the Tina Peters trial and in that entire ordeal for her why the assertion by so many, including the Secretary of State's office, that Tina Peters had compromised those BIOS passwords was, I would say ludicrous, absurd, because that was never Tina Peters' password. It belonged to the Secretary of State. Secretary of State was in control of it. It was her staff that had it. If it was compromised, they did it. But anyway, with the BIOS password, you can get access to do any number of things to that computer, including things that would allow you to bypass the Windows password. So if you had the BIOS password and then you changed the sequence of boot devices on the computer, you could direct it to boot from a USB thumb drive or device. And then you could use that USB thumb drive or device to perform like a Windows operating system repair from another copy of Windows operating system or from a repair disk. And then that would let you reset or bypass the passwords for any user that had an account on the Windows operating system. But it would also let you do much more sort of severe and covert things to that computer. You could replace the BIOS, you could alter the BIOS so it always displayed the status you wanted, whether that was true or not. You could get in and install, partial code or full executable, not large, but full executable code within some of the non-volatile memory on the computer. There's, I don't want to say infinite, but it's a significant number, and it's very stochastically complex in terms of the kind of things you can do. So it puts the computer system that's affected at great risk of compromise. And it's not just local access, like they've stated, because some of those computers either have a wireless networking device themselves or are connected to another computer by a LAN cable, which has a wireless networking device, or are on a network, a voting system equipment network, where other people have access, or there's potentially a LAN connection to like a bridge, we would call it, to an outside network. And then there's another prospect. It gets complicated fast, but there are ways to embed what's called a software agent on removable media so that when you plug that in under certain conditions, that software agent or executable file then executes. And so if you know the BIOS passwords, you could set that up so that a completely separate computer, just because the removable media is going to be moved between the devices, could be used to install malware or alter configuration on the target computer. So it's very dangerous. I wouldn't necessarily expect the Secretary of State to understand it. She hasn't demonstrated any understanding whatsoever of the technology involved in our voting systems. But I would expect people within her office, like Deputy Secretary Beal, or the elections director, Judge Choate, I would expect them to understand it.
Well, is there a way, Colonel Smith, that, and I don't know that much about all of this, but I've heard log files. Shouldn't there be log files that you can tell with a computer who's been in there messing around with it?
There should be, and this is unfortunately for not just Colorado, but the whole country. So the voting system vendors have been allowed by the Election Assistance Commission and the voting system testing labs and all the state certification authorities to produce, configure, and field voting systems that do not actually, and a log file is just one of the many types of digital artifacts on the machines that would be considered part of an audit trail. So when you look in the old, if you look in Colorado revised statutes, you'll see that voting systems that are purchased or offered for lease or sale in Colorado have to meet many standards, including the 2002 Federal Election Commission voting system standards. When you read those voting system standards, you see that it describes explicitly when a system is using general purpose computers, which is what these are, they call them commercial off the shelf. These are actually a little bit different because they're not off the shelf. They've been configured and ordered specifically by the voting system vendor, which is what makes it puzzling that so many of them have had wireless networking devices in them, because they're not supposed to use them in Colorado. They have no legitimate purpose. So the fact that so many of our voting systems have those is really, demanded an investigation. But anyway, so that voting system standard requires, when you have a general purpose computer, like all of the computers in Colorado's voting systems are, that you have three additional requirements on them, because on those general purpose computers, the processors and the computing hardware can be performing different functions simultaneously to operating the voting system software, the proprietary software. So they can be just like on your own personal computer, on your phone, they can be doing something in the background that isn't the active task. And one of the things they could be doing, or many of the things they could be doing in the background, could alter the operation or the output of the voting system software. So because of that, the voting system standards, which are mandatory under Colorado statute and should have been referred to and adhered to prior to certification and use in Colorado, which they were not, but that requirement is that they log all of the normal and abnormal activity within the computer operating system. So a log in, a log off, a process start or stop, communication port activity, error messages, warning messages, memory access, and all of that is just critical to producing an audit trail that would be sufficient for a cyber forensic auditor to reconstruct what had happened, not just within the voting system software, but within the computer that is determining whether, you know, for example, the number one, like one vote, actually equals one in the final result. Because you can do things on a computer that will permute the arithmetic that will alter, you know, tallies within election system databases. And so, among many other types of alterations. So all of those files are supposed to be produced on the voting system, generated, and then preserved for a minimum of 22 months under federal law. And it's not being done. The voting systems have been configured so that they don't log all events to begin with that are required. And then, and this is, you know, I think a criminal violation, they've been configured, in particular the Dominion voting systems, are all configured with a very small allocation of memory for those log files compared to what they'll generate, you know, in the course of an election. And then they've been configured in the only way that would be illegal under the voting system standards and therefore under Colorado law. They've been configured to overwrite when they run out of space. There are two other options. They can be configured to archive the log file so they don't get overwritten, you know, kind of save them as a separate file and then keep going. Or they can be configured to warn the operator, hey, I'm running out of memory, and then you can do something about it. Either of those two would be acceptable under the voting system standards, but those are not what was selected. The only one that would be illegal is how they're configured, and that's how the Secretary of State is certified. And because that's in the technical data for the voting systems, the county election officials under Colorado statute are effectively mandated to use those configurations. If they don't use those configurations, then they can get prosecuted, just like Tina Peters was prosecuted for not following, one of the administrative rules of the secretary under ATCR 1505-1. So in theory, they should have all those log files and audit trail, but in practice, they don't. And this is part of the problem, is that, you know, a lot of times what people want to do is they say, well, you know, and this is what Governor Polis did, although I think it's Kabuki theater. You know, it's a Potemkin village. They did not do an adequate evaluation. And I know that because an adequate evaluation in the first place would take very, very competent people several days per voting system component to rule out to most of the kind of common exploits that could have been used on those computers with the exposed BIOS passwords. But the second reason I know it's not possible is because, they don't have all of the log files because of what I just explained. And so they don't have the artifacts they need to determine whether or not the systems have been compromised or used in an unauthorized manner. And that's why when you look at like the Election Assistance Commission report from Williamson County, Tennessee, where they had a tabulator not counting ballots, the EAC's report said that their root cause was not, they couldn't conclusively state it. They didn't admit it, but the reason they couldn't conclusively state it is because the voting systems themselves, and that was a Dominion system, the voting systems don't preserve the records they need. Then I would say the third reason why it's would be, I think, impossible to recertify the systems to, you know, have a cyber forensic auditor look at them and say they're good, is because all the computers for our voting systems were built overseas, every single one of them. And the notebooks, in fact, were built entirely in China. And then the others were assembled mostly in Brazil and Mexico, but of parts like the motherboards and things like that made in China. And when you manufacture computer components and computers for U.S. critical infrastructure in China, they – oh, somebody's calling me. Hold on.
Goodness.
Goodness. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, let's go to break. I'm talking with Colonel Sean Smith with it's Cause for America. Is that right?
Cause of America, like the quote from Thomas Paine, Cause of America.
Okay, Cause of America, and he's an expert on all of this technology. We're talking about the password security breach, which is of great concern, and we have those that are out there saying nothing to see here, move along, nothing to see here, move along. Well, I think there's something that we really need to talk about, and we have these important discussions because of our sponsors. One of those is Lavaca Meat Company.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lorne understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lorne Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lorne at 303-880-8881.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Monson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to The Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And do check out the Center for American Values. It's located on the beautiful Riverwalk in Pueblo. And we can use a little inspiration these days, and you can certainly get inspiration by looking at their portraits of valor of over 160 Medal of Honor recipients and each of their quotes. So be sure and check that out at AmericanValueCenter.org. I'm talking with Colonel Sean Smith. He is with Cause of America. And Colonel Smith, the Denver Post had an article just recently that said teams of hastily deputized state employees, really deputized state employees, had undergone background checks, including 22 cybersecurity staffers and 8 Secretary of State officials. They went to county clerk offices in a scramble to shore up security around Colorado's election voting system following this partial leak of passwords. Polis said this, Governor Polis, every Coloradan can rest assured that their vote will be counted fairly and accurately, while the leaked passwords compromise just one of many layers of security that protect our election integrity in Colorado. We knew it was critical to take swift action. What would you say to that, Colonel Smith?
Sounds like propaganda. I mean, this is the same state, you know, IT office that was responsible for their own site and email systems that were hacked, you know, in the last year, 2 years ago. It's kind of like when CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure and Security Agency, they're the federal agency that has the responsibility or lead for the government facilities subsector critical infrastructure protection, which is where voting systems have been placed. And their own servers were compromised for 9 to 10 months minimum in 2020 without their knowledge. At the same time, they were telling us how secure election infrastructure was. So I don't think any of those people are actually qualified to tell us, you know, what's okay. And bringing all those people, you know, with that sort of emergency action doesn't really shine a positive, reaffirming light on the Secretary of State's initial claim that this was not a big deal. And since these people are obviously very much, I mean, these are the same people who told you that there was no invasion of Trendarawa gang members in Aurora taking over buildings, that they kind of are in the profession of, I don't know what else they do, but they're in the profession of lying. And so whenever they tell you something, you really, at this point, just have to wonder, same thing with, you know, honestly, Denver Post and Nine News, you have to wonder if it isn't the exact opposite of what they said that's actually true. So if they took a bunch of people who are IT staff, there's somewhere between zero and no chance that any of them are even remotely qualified to do the kind of cyber forensics that would be necessary to look at these systems. And like I was starting to say, the third reason these systems, you know, because they've been built overseas and under that with the access and in some cases the supervision of, you know, Chinese Ministry of State Security, which is who runs a lot of the advanced persistent threat cyber teams for China, that you have to count on, and they would know because of the order that these computers in our voting systems were going to be used for voting systems. You know, they know when you order them, it's going to be shipped to the United States. And so you have to assume that they have compromised and during the course of the supply chain, that equipment. And those supply chain compromises are extremely difficult and can be impossible to detect, except by looking at the sort of indicators of behavior of components of software and hardware on the computers. And you can't do that with our voting system because they're not monitored in real time by cyber professionals with tuned tools like an intrusion protection system or detection system. So, and I've seen even on hardened government weapon systems that I was directing the operational test of or overseeing operational tests, even with a defender, an active, you know, trained cyber defender watching a computer which had the sole purpose of monitoring those heuristics of, you know, the behavior of the system, even those people can just be completely shut out. And so, and by a good cyber, you know, hacking team, like a penetration team. So yeah, the chance that these guys, the fact that they deployed them means they knew it was serious. The fact that they are telling you that they got the job done and everything's okay means that they are, you know, unmitigated and unperturbed in their pattern of lying to the public.
So what is the solution? The Libertarian Party has a lawsuit to get to hand counting of these paper ballots. What's the solution, Colonel Smith?
Well, I agree with them. We would recommend that, you know, Cause of America and I personally would recommend hand counting at the precinct level of paper ballots for all of our elections all the time. You know, there's not really all the arguments against it. I could go one by one. You know, people like Matt Crane will deploy these completely fallacious arguments about hand counts taking too long and costing too much and being too slow or you know, and being inaccurate. But when you start digging into their basis for that, you find out it's, you know, it's like his company, like Matt Crane is with Lafayette Group, which is a strategic messaging company that serves kind of DC agencies. And so those guys get paid for this narrative and they're part of this institution that is removing citizens from their elections by having them done sort of by technology centrally, and they've been marching towards that. So a lot of the problems with hand count right now, like the very large ballot sizes, are problems that institution, the elections industry people have created, and maybe partly to make sure that the elections are more difficult to hand count. But the truth is, when they have a problem like they had in Williamson County, Tennessee, or DeKalb County, Georgia, the only way that those jurisdictions knew what was true when they found out they had a problem with their voting systems was by doing a hand count. That's how they found the Democrat candidate in DeKalb County, Georgia. The voting system had actually completely flipped the race in her Democratic primary down there in DeKalb County, Georgia. It had placed her third and placed another candidate first, and then had another one had moved up. I think that system was off by over 40%. That's how inaccurate the voting system tally was in that primary election. And it's only through a hand count that they figured out what was true. And so what we tend to say is, look, if you have to hand count to know what's true, and you do, then you might as well just hand count, because doing anything else is just sort of wasting your time and money and maybe keeping you from doing the hand count, which can be relied upon. And people say that humans can make mistakes, but there, and it's true, but there are ways to do the hand count. And we actually teach people to do that. We've got somebody, Linda Rance out of Missouri, who, you know, developed these great procedures. She's trained at this point over 1,000 trainers nationwide, and they're now training people to hand count. And the technique they use has multiple counters that then can be used to reconcile and check the tally. And I would also recommend doing the whole thing under video so that every citizen can watch it either real time or after the fact. Because the truth is, every aspect of our elections, other than the private choices of a voter, you know, what being able to correlate like your void choices with your ballot, that shouldn't happen. But everything else should be completely exposed and transparent to the public view without us having to ask. Otherwise, I don't think you can say, you know, we have a Republican form of government.
Could we do this for this election for tomorrow?
Sure. Yeah. Once the casting of the ballots is done, then, you know, it doesn't take, I mean, for the state assembly, for Colorado GOP state assembly, that whole process kind of came together in the last week. Most of the volunteers that did that hand counting of the national committee woman race there were trained in what, like when they arrived at the site. And so, you know, they got maybe an hour of training, they got a little practice. You could recruit all the people, and, you know, I would use volunteers to do it. Although jurisdictions could also say, hey, you know, elementary school teachers or high school math teachers, we'd like you to take a day here. You know, we're going to do an in-service, and I hope you can do basic, you know, grade school math, because that's all it takes. But they could be trained in a very short period, easily trained in an hour, have a couple hours of practice. And then if you arrange the ballots the way we used to do it, you arrange them by precinct, which should be easy because there's ballot styles. You know, you just group them by precinct and then count the ballots for a precinct. There aren't in any precinct in the United States more than 4,000 voters. And in most precincts, there's less than 1,100. You could count, you know, those ballots with a small team by precinct, maybe an hour to 2 hours per precinct easily.
Okay. We're out of time. One of our listeners said they were trying to find Cause of America. I think it's causeofamerica.org. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Okay. Sean Smith, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. Take good care.
Wow. Okay. Well, we want to get to break and get back here with Hannah Goodman and James Wiley. So stay tuned.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Now that school's back in, Mom and Dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies' Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on klzradio.com today.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Very pleased to have on the line with me Hannah Goodman. She is the chair of the Colorado Libertarian Party, and James Wiley. He is a candidate for Congress with the Libertarian Party as well. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm also a candidate for Congressional District 4 myself as well.
Oh, very good. Thank you for telling me. So you both have standing regarding these passwords. So, and James, welcome to the show as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. And glad to have standing as well.
Yes. Hannah, this is a big deal. And I'm going to be down there. You're calling for people to come down to the courthouse today because they're going to be hearing this case. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're really excited.
And good for you for getting this this filed. So tell us the process. What happened?
Well, James probably is the best person to speak to that because he's been elbow deep in this whole case.
Okay, James, so tell us. Yeah. And this has all been happening very quickly.
Yeah, it's been one of the fastest cases we've ever had to put together for an election integrity cause. And I've been really grateful for the opportunity. It seemed to fall out of the sky right into the Secretary of State's office as far as the release of these BIOS passwords. And this is something that is inevitable, that there would be such a large-scale breach, as is represented here, more than 4 months of the BIOS passwords being available to the public. So we were like anybody else, just watching the implosion on Tuesday when it was released that these BIOS passwords were out there, and watching that and knowing that we were candidates and knowing that the Libertarian Party represents the citizens of Colorado, we knew that we had a duty to bring a case and to utilize our standing to go to the courts and demand that we have a fair and just count for this election, because as it is, those machines are entirely compromised. Whether or not the BIOS passwords were changed, and Secretary Griswold claims that they have been across the state, the logs of those computers have not been verified, and including the BIOS logs. And whether the settings were switched on or off is still a question. And that is why we need to bring this case, because the enabling of the Wi-Fi on these devices could allow any kind of malicious attack to jump the air gap and affect these machines. And all of them are potentially infected at this point and need to be disposed of. So as libertarians, our first priority is to hold the state accountable. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to bring this case and for Hannah and her leadership and allowing us to confront the state in this instance.
So James, what's the remedy that you're asking for?
we want those machines to be decommissioned. This is exactly what happened to the 41 machines in Mesa County after the breach of the BIOS passwords there. And we would like a similar treatment of the vulnerable machines within the state of Colorado. In every county. And it seems that there's at least 31, possibly up to 64 counties that have been affected by this breach. And we would like those machines to be decommissioned and disposed of appropriately. And because of the critical nature of this election taking place tomorrow and the ballots already been counted, we need to be shifting to a hand count model, something that's worked for hundreds of years.
So, in essence, what would happen is that all those ballots that have come in, instead of the tallies being on the machines, you'd have go through and do a hand count on this and tally it that way. Is that right, James? Am I hearing that correctly?
Absolutely. And with appropriate number of volunteers, and we could bring in people willing and on a bipartisan nature, including just going to high schools and junior highs and even elementary schools and engaging in a simple process counting, which is absolutely within the capacity of any citizen, probably first grade and up, to accomplish. We can count all our ballots and do it very quickly within just a day, most likely utilizing all the resources that are available to the counties from the willing citizens who desire that their votes be properly cast and counted. So all the ballots are available. We just need to replace the machines, which at this point cannot be trusted, if at any, and move forward with the hand count.
Well, thank you, James. And Hannah, it surely seems that, as I look at this, that the Secretary of State, it happened in her office, and now she and her staff and Governor Polis are the ones that are saying they're trying to fix that. I don't see any bipartisan bringing in the Libertarian Party, the Republican Party, to work together to assure us. And I'm a little concerned about that, Hannah Goodman.
Yeah, I'm deeply concerned about that as well. It's hard to have a fair, unbiased election without partisan support, right? And while the Libertarian Party is not as powerful as the two major parties, including the GOP, we still are a relevant political force, and our candidates deserve equal partisanship in handling a fair and unbiased election.
Well, that is for sure. And coming, there's a text line is very busy. It says, James, that we should also film the hand counting. And in this day and age, we should be able to do that as well. And I think we could really, really reclaim this whole process. This is certainly a problem, but we have other vulnerabilities as well, which we talked about today on the show, James.
Yeah, the mail-in issue, the ballot drop box issue, the voter registration issue. There's a lot of things that we have concerns about in our elections, but there's just one that is so pressing and so immediate and so obvious in the own admission of Jenna Griswold in her interviews with Kyle Clark and basically everything that they've been putting out over the last week and this attempt to cover up. It absolutely demonstrates to us the need to implement a fallback method. There has to be that fallback, and that fallback is hand counts.
So Hannah Goodman today, and it's people need to dress warm, but I think that this is very important that people come out and support you and James on this lawsuit and the Libertarian Party. So tell us how people can do that.
So today we have a hearing at the Bannock Street Courthouse, which is the Denver District Court. It's a beautiful building right across from the Capitol. You cannot get more iconically Colorado, in my opinion, especially on such an important issue as Colorado elections. So the hearing is at 1:30. I'm sure James knows the room. I don't. And so everyone can come out and support. You can watch. You can hang around. And you can see our Colorado courts in action, which is super exciting, right? If you think about it, I love being in politics because I love watching, you know, the way our government processes work. And so this is one step to be able to participate in that. And we certainly can use all the support we can get. And this isn't the first time the Libertarian Party has stood up to the Secretary of State in Colorado. Several years ago, we sued them with a judicial watch lawsuit, and we one, to clean up the voter rolls, which we, of course, all know probably didn't actually happen. But the fact still remains is we've been victorious once against the Secretary of State, and I'm looking forward to being victorious a second time.
Well, Hannah Goodman, thank you so much, and I will be there. I know some of my buddies are coming with me. And James Wiley, also thank you to you as well for both of you stepping forward and for the Libertarian Party. And thank you, James.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes,
and
thank you. We're so glad that you've had us on.
And we will see you this afternoon at 1. And boy, this is historical on what is happening here in Colorado. And we've thought that we needed to get to a paper hand count. And it looks to me like that's where we need to go for tomorrow. So this is very exciting. And our quote for the end of the show is George Washington. He said this: make sure you are doing what God wants you to do, then do it with all your strength. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.